So when I was at Hampton, I did radio for all 4 years when I was there. And that got me comfortable doing this, being on a microphone. And then I went to J School at Hampton, the Scripps Higher School of Journalism. So I feel like there are things that I do every day in my career that I can use.
Me being a college queen, you know, speaking in front of people, it kind of took the nerves out of me because I always had to, you know, improv and speak on the spot. And theater, you know, tapping into your creativity, you know, reading scripts, dissecting them, and different dialogues. So that definitely prepared me for the outside work, corporate America, and just, you know, going to auditions. So.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Yard Link Up with Historically Black Sense. Now, today, as you can see, I have an amazing panel, I guess you would say, here with me. I'm going to let y'all introduce yourselves, all right? Because, I mean, I don't even think I can do y'all justice. So,
go ahead and tell them.
All right. My name is Danny Canada, class of 09, Hampton University.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Desan Onyx Frazier, Morehouse College, class of 22.
Hi, everyone. My name's Priyanka Banks. I graduated from the Alabama State University 2010.
And as we all know, I'm DC, Alabama State University. Checking in, man. And back there, I got my dog, DJ Ducey, repping Albany State. What's happening, Ducey?
Come on now, what's up?
Now, this is not going to be the interviews that you all may normally get. Like, yeah, so what about your life? How did you do this? This is going to be a conversation.
Okay.
You know, we're going to all give our opinions, man. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interactive. And we're going to start this off right, all right? We're going to turn it up.
All the girls jack, beat steady, knock, middle up. They got the whole floor rocking. Watch it. You can hate, but your girls get it. That's right. Bitch, change the deal on the beat. She's not
Ducey, look, man, you already, you want it back there. Man, you haven't been my zone, my guy.
just a little something.
So, real quick, I want you to go on and keep the turntables hot real quick. So, what year did you all attend or graduate? I don't know which one y'all want to say, but I'm going to ask.
Both.
Okay.
So, I started at Hampton University in 05, graduated in 09.
Okay.
I started in 18, became a Morehouse man at 22.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Well, I graduated in 2010.
All right. Well, you know, I graduated in 15. You know, that's neither here nor there. Why I was there for so long, but I made it.
You got that degree, though.
I was not there that long, people, just so you know that. So, look, DJ, while you got them hot, you heard all of the years. Mm. Now, what we going to do, he going to play a song. And I want to know what comes to mind when you all hear this song from your college years. Like now, we got to play something. This is a big mix.
I'm going to start with Danny first.
Okay, we're going to do it. We'll do it that way. We'll do it that way.
Okay, so
Ms. Danny, talk to us.
Yeah, so for me, that brought back memories of partying at Holland Hall at Hampton University. So for people who don't know, Holland Hall was like our big gym. Back in my day, we did not have air in this gym.
Mm.
Hampton has upgraded, you know, they have air now. But back then, we would have Holland Jams, that's what they were called. And it was the sweatiest party you have ever been to. No air. Packed people everywhere, but it was so fun. It was the best time. Like, you would go in, your hair would be pressed, you would come out with an afro. But It was a good time. So that's what makes me think about it.
Well, as long as it was a good time.
It was a great time.
You can't forget something with no error.
Exactly. It got crazy in Holland.
Dope. All right, now we're going to go on to Miss Priyanka down there. Mm-hmm. We're going to see what we got. What comes to mind when you hear that song from your college days, ma'am?
Do say you was on it, because I always wore that long cast, so I was going to swing it and slap it with it.
I can attest to this, but I saw it. Yeah.
But that song, Travis Porter, huge for my college years, but mm-hmm. I can say the Rose, if you know, that's a sweat box as well, so that's why I love this HBCU talk, but... Yeah, the sweat box, getting your dance on, strolling, mm-hmm. if you was in a sorority or fraternity. Mm-hmm. Definitely, Travis Porter was our ratchet day, so it definitely brings back a lot of memories.
And you know, I got to piggyback off of that. All of them songs remind me of the Rose. Do say, I don't know if you know about the Rose that was in Montgomery, but the Rose is legendary for anybody who ever been through Montgomery. If you've been through state, you know about the Rose. So yeah, I'm definitely going to say that. All right, so I'm going to get this conversation started.
Okay.
I'm going to start it on a light note, of course, you know. So I'm going to ask one question, and you all just give me y'all answer to it. Sure. Probates or step shows? Which one do you like best? And you don't have to go in any particular order. Just whoever wants.
I'm going to go ahead and kick this one off. I'm going to say step shows because you get in a show the whole time. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, the probates is cool because you supporting your boy or your homegirl or something, but when they get to kicking the history off, they be going too fast for me. You know what I'm saying? So I like the step shows because it's like, I watched Stump the Yard. Come on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to say probates, honestly. We have really lit probates at Hampton. It was a lot of fun. Like, I remember, you know, they would try to make it exciting leading up to it. So, like, one year, the Sigmas were coming out, and you would just be in the student center, and you would just see the people who are online running through like with their mask on. You'd be like, oh, the probate's coming. So for me, it was really exciting to watch the probates.
Dope.
Yeah.
I can piggyback with you. I like the probates because you get to see, like, I guess the caterpillar kind of blossom.
Yeah.
And you know the transition from somebody pledging to becoming a member. Mm-hmm. So just seeing the turnaround and how they blossom and just, it's a beautiful thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, certain people, their personality come out, you know, from the probate. So I would say the probates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. I got to say probate, too.
Yeah.
It's just something about them. It's something about that coming out party, man. Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, the new faces when the Neos come through and mm-hmm. you party with the Neos and everybody finally, I think, yeah, it's probate for sure.
Yeah.
It's probate for sure.
I agree.
Definitely love probate.
Yeah.
All right. So, although we all probably have different attachments to our names and wear different hats, we all are in media, entertainment, or have dabbled in it to some extent. Mm-hmm. So what did your HBCU do to actually prepare you for, I guess, entertainment, so to speak, or media? What kind of connections did you use from your HBCU? What did it do for you with what you're doing today?
I'll go first. So when I was at Hampton, I did radio for all 4 years when I was there, and that got me comfortable doing this, being on a microphone. And then I went to J School at Hampton, the Scripps Higher School of Journalism. So I feel like there are things that I do every day in my career that I can use from my education. So I feel like it really did prepare me for what I do now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Me personally, it was an outlet to be able to connect with my peers. You know what I mean? I found a lot of young men and women that, you know, found interest in doing what I do. So I was like, that was like my community. Like, all right, let's get up. Let's go make a video of this. Let's go do that. Or, you know, on an acting tip, you know, we rehearsing, you know, scripts together and that. So it was just like a great outlet to be able to connect with some people that look like me and still, you know, go out and create.
Dope.
Well, I would say it prepared me being a college queen, you know, speaking in front of people. It kind of took the nerves out of me because I always had to, you know, improv and speak on the spot. And theater, you know, tapping into your creativity, you know, reading scripts, dissecting them, and different dialogues. So that definitely prepared me for the outside work, corporate America, and just, you know, going to auditions. So
That makes a lot of sense. I can agree with all of that because First of all, I feel like you have to be disciplined in anything that you're doing with entertainment and media. First of all. Right. I came from the BA, Business Administration at Alabama State. So, like you say, even with speaking to people, just being open and knowing how to actually speak in front of people when it's time to, and being able to interact with so many different people, I feel like that was one of the main things that it taught me, because you can't go speak to this group of people talking like we might talk to each other right now, but we family in here, so we can talk, we can use slang, whatever we want to do. But when you get out in front of those, talking to those directors, those casting directors, you know, you want to have a whole different level of whatever you're going to bring to them. And I feel like that's exactly what it taught me. So to kind of move along, what are some programs from each, you know, perspective of HBCU, would you advise people to join or get in to actually help them if they want to get into the media and entertainment space? Because whether it's... you know, a lot of times when we're talking about HBCUs, we say programs and organizations. It's not limited to D9s, and a lot of people think that it's really not. That will teach you a lot as well with anything in life. However, it's not limited to that, because no organizations or any programs that's on campus, they ain't there for just decoration. So what organizations, you know, Hampton, ASU, Morehouse, what are some organizations or programs that you would advise people to get into?
I would say SGA. If you're running for president, treasurer, or anything, I think that will prepare you for public speaking when you're traveling, meeting these other people, SGA programs. You can see the diversity with other schools, what you need help with, how you can communicate with your student body and all that good stuff. So I think that will prepare you for, you know, even the outside world, public speaking and getting comfortable.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
For me, I would say at Hampton, we have the Greer Dawson Wilson Leadership Institute. And so these are the student leaders on campus. These are the people who are the first people to meet the freshmen when they get there. And this really forces you to put yourself out there to meet new people, make connections. And then the student leaders, we're still all in contact now, even after we've graduated. And, you know, it's just a great program to really help nurture the student body. You know, you get a little sister or a little brother, and then you kind of like nurture their journey along there. So it kind of just gives you like leadership skills. So I would say that.
For sure. And at Morehouse, you know, they got this thing called, this group called CASA, which they really help put on these events and everything from the celebrities coming through and doing concerts to just school events that they got going on. So that's a great organization to be a part of, as well as in the AUC, they got this thing called Art After Dark, where it allows creatives to go out and express themselves, whether that's like skating, singing, like dancing, like they got a whole production going on. And then even though they are rivals across the street, we still are family. So I would say that even Clark has a great mass media arts program in general, like it's fire. So I definitely encourage people to just go out and do your research first and foremost and go and see where you fit in, because it's something for you everywhere, anywhere you go, especially the HBCU tip.
Yeah, I'll just say get active. Because with everything that you all said, anything will really prepare you in some way. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, it's a college program. I mean, it's a college organization. It's not there for decoration. I don't care if it's going to teach you how to talk to somebody, teach you how to get your butt somewhere on time, teach you whatever it's going to do. Exactly. It's going to teach you.
Exactly.
It's going to teach you. So I say just get active.
Yeah.
Okay, so being that we're talking about that, the people that done kind of heard through our perspective. Mm-hmm. So now individually tell everybody what you all do.
Okay.
Specifically.
Okay. So I am managing editor for Bossip.com. We're an entertainment news site. And in addition to that, I am an influencer, content creator, and I do television. So I really put like my broadcast journalism skills to use. So.
Yeah, I'm an actor, actor influencer. I've been doing the influencing thing, content creating since the pandemic 2020. Acting tip, I've been in a couple movies and I got a show that I'm doing. So, yeah, that's what I'm on.
That's what's up. I'm the owner of Priyanka's Palace. If it don't blink, it don't sting. And I'm also in corporate America as well. Shop Priyanka's Palace, www.priyankabanks.com. Everything bling.
We know. Okay, now normally I would ask that question like at the beginning of the interview. However, now that you told them that, we're all alums here. Mm-hmm. What is the biggest impact that you feel alums have in media, entertainment, or even, you know, with retail as well. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like the impact that alums have that's already, or even when you were, you know, when we were in undergrad, what do you feel like the path that was already set, that alums were already doing, do you feel like it impacted you at all? What do you feel like the impact should have been? What do you feel like the impact will be?
Absolutely. Like, the impact is crazy. Like, let me just say, my Morehouse brothers, Spike Lee, Samuel L. Jackson, John David White, you know what I'm saying? Like, we come from, so, like, seeing those guys come through and seeing how they do it and that they still making it happen on the acting aspect is just, like, so inspirational to me, because it's another black man in America that's making his way and being able to feed his family, and they're role models for young guys like myself. Mm-hmm. And so that right there is just the motivation I need to be like, all right, let's go ahead and get this, because that's what I want to do.
Yeah. So for me, I would say I love to see just HBCU grads really prove people wrong who have that notion that, oh, if you go to HBCU, you know, you can't really do much, or, you know, you're not going to have that much of an impact. And I love to see, you know, like the Morehouse men show out, even the people from Howard. I know people are like, oh, you're not supposed to say that. But people went to Howard who show out and really show up. Shout out to like Taraji P. Henson, who's a great example of that, the late Chadwick Boseman. So for me, it's just like, I just love to see people at HBCUs excel, because there are people who would say things like, well, HBCUs aren't the real world. You have to learn to interact with other people. And it's like, you learn all of that at an HBCU. I hate that people kind of pigeonhole us in that way. So,
right. And by the way, somebody else said there's another real HU. I don't know which one it is, but that's...
I ain't never heard of it.
So. I was just saying what people say, what I heard. But anyway,
I only heard about one. I don't know.
Ooh. Oh. So, well, let me go in and keep moving. What is one thing from each of you that your HBCU taught you that you would never forget?
I would say my professor always told me it's life outside these four walls, because, you know, at HBCU with community, so, you know, if you that girl or whatever, everybody pipe you up. But once you graduate, you realize, oh, I'm not that girl yet. I gotta put in this work. Ooh, life out the college, you know what I'm saying? So I would say reality hits when you, you know, after you graduate from college. So I would say that's one thing that always stuck with me. You know, one of my professors always told me, coming from theater is not what you show, it's what you hide. So I always, when opportunities came my way, I just didn't want to take anything like sex scenes and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm very aware of, you know, the things that they instilled in me. Like, okay, you don't have to do that. You know, mm-hmm. you got talent, you know, that kind of thing. So, mm-hmm.
So one of our mottos at Hampton is that it's an education for life. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that's something they instilled in us. They're like, Hampton doesn't end after you graduate. Mm. So I know with us, we are very keen on like networking with each other and networking across, as like Issa Rae would say, instead of being like, let me try to network up. We're like, let's all reach out to each other and see what we can make together. And I think that's something that they really instilled in us at Hampton. It's like, this is for life. You are a Hamptonian. You reach out to other Hamptonians and you help bring each other up. So.
Dope, dope. That's something I'll say too. I feel like a lot of people don't really understand I guess how close-knitted a HBCU family is.
Yeah.
And which is something that really inspired me to, you know, alongside Adrena, she's off camera, she don't ever want to be on camera, but to actually start like a podcast like this, because, I mean, we've been doing interviews here and there for a long time, but people don't understand, people are right there in your grasp. And for somebody to actually see you, it's like, okay, well, maybe people are obtainable, because a lot of people, they're scared to even reach out to people. Yes, they're scared I don't know, it's like a pride thing, I guess, with that. Ego, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But you have to. Like, there's no way that you can do anything alone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as long as you have people who are, you know, they went to HBCUs, alums, you got people to help you right there in your grasp. So everybody, they need to know, like, you got help out there.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually want to, like, bounce off of the question you asked, because I've learned a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But something that, you know, that's really stuck with me, I would say, you know, you got to present yourself how you want to be perceived, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to go further with that, a professor told me one day, he said, we took fake it till you make it out of our vocabulary, and we put act as if you're already that doctor, act as if you're already that CEO, and do the things that they're already doing so you can set your life up for greatness. And like, that was a great one. Like, I took with me, I live by it. Like, I'm already acting as if I'm already in these big films, in these big movies and everything like that, and I do the work so that when I get there, it's not going to be a stranger to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And that's manifestation.
I like that one. It is. And you say, when did y'all change that? The fake it till you make it to that?
Smart.
Everybody need to hear that, boy. Yeah. I didn't fake it till you make it. We taking faking it a little bit too far these days. But
I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
I didn't want to say that, but
take the fake it till you make it. We can't say that no more.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so can you all share a personal experience or story? I guess there was a major pivot or transition that inspired you or someone that you know within your own career.
That's a big question.
Say it one more time. Can you share a personal experience or story of a successful career pivot or transition that inspired you or someone that you know?
I would say I just recently watched, I think on Prime Video, the Tyler Perry story. Ooh. And, okay. You know, how he built himself up, struggling and all of that. I mean, I felt it because, you know, if you're a real college student and stuff, you know, we struggle. We're nobody rich in college. Okay. But, you know, just, you know, the meals and just the preparation, never giving up. Even though I couldn't imagine my mother, because my mama is my biggest fan, telling me to give up. You know, that kind of thing. And you still had the will to keep going. Mm-hmm. And you created opportunities for these black people, because I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of people probably wouldn't have been casted in Hollywood if it had not been for him. But watching that story was very, very inspiring. I don't have anybody personal, but just watching that, I'm like, damn. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, from the plays to the movies, you see his whole journey, and it was just a beautiful thing, a beautiful story, you know. And then to make it, and your mother not be able, she can feel it, but she can't see it, that kind of thing. Yeah. And you got to think, our parents are getting older, no matter, you know, our dreams haven't aspired yet, but our parents are getting older. We want them to see it. You want to make it so they can see it. So I thought that was beautiful.
It was a great story.
You watched it?
I loved it.
It was a dope, it was a deep documentary, man. It was a deep documentary. So what about you? Anybody? You look like, well, I forgot the question.
No, it was a deep question. You know, I got to think about that one.
It's all good. I do the same thing. I forgot the question. What was it?
You want me to go? Okay. Just something that's on my mind right now. I just recently got done reading Viola Davis' book that she wrote, and it was amazing. First of all, she just overcame and went through so much adversity. She came from a family that got it out the mud, like the definition of getting it out the mud, and to see like her perseverance and how she stated that, you know, I'm not the typical, like the ideal black woman, and they don't see me as these roles. They want me to always play the crackhead mom or just something so derogatory. And for her to overcome and to keep going and come through Juilliard, like it was just such an inspirational story. Especially where she came from, like, come on, you could do anything you want, you put your mind to it, and that was a great example for me, and I suggest that book to a lot of folks coming through if you really want to do this. Like, that was a great book.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you all personally, what are some obstacles that you've overcame while getting into your careers? I'll say trying to get into it, because I mean it's obstacles even when you're in it, but while you're trying to actually get into your career, what were some obstacles?
So when I graduated in 2009, my thought was, I'm gonna be on the radio, I'm gonna come back to Atlanta, I'm gonna be on 107.9, oh my god, I'm gonna do all this. And there were literally no jobs. Like, no jobs were open in radio. And I had a friend who just randomly was like, well, I know someone who's looking for unpaid interns, you know, for this website, but just, you know, try it out and see what it was. So I came out of school, came and started working for this brand called HipHotWire.com, who I'm still affiliated with to this day. And it was completely unpaid. I was so broke. and eventually it turned into something full time. But that really taught me that, like, if you want something bad enough, you know, see what you can make out of it, because to me it was such a small opportunity, but it really kind of, it kicked off everything that has happened in my career now. It started out unpaid, and then it led me to where I am now. And there was even a moment when I got laid off in 2012. They just completely fired the whole staff because they were moving in a different direction. That's just how media is. They'll just be like, this ain't working today. Always moving
in a different direction.
We're going to try this in New York. So y'all are out. These people are in. And I remember thinking like, well, I'm finished. I was like, it's so hard to get back into it. But eventually it worked out in 2014 and here I am. So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about yourself?
One more time for me.
What was the obstacle trying to get into, you know, your, I guess, acting? What was the obstacle that you faced?
Right. For me, it was the hesitation of my own mind. It was once I got over the fear of, like, what people would think, like, and I'm still doing it to this day. Like, it's not even, like, but once I got over that initial hump and said, F it, I'm going to go ahead and just do it, man, I was just so confident and comfortable in myself and just try to take it to the full limits of what God has for me. And that was really, like, the biggest step, just my own mind.
Dope. Okay. What about you, Ms. Priyanka?
Ooh, child, I got a whole story for you. Well, for me, when I first graduated, I would say getting away from the fluff in Atlanta because, you know, I come from the theater, so I tried out for all the dance stuff. I was doing the dance stuff, doing music videos. I just wanted to be on, you know? Yeah. But just a lot of people weren't legit, you know? A lot of people wanted to be your manager. A lot of people take advantage of you. I made good money and stuff like that. Done reality television, done every damn thing you could think of, but just getting away from the fluff to real opportunities, doing Prime movies. You know, you got your ghetto stuff on Tubi that you don't want nobody to know about. But just getting away. I would say my biggest obstacles is getting away from the fluff and finding real legit opportunities. Because when your dreams are in your hand and somebody's coming to you telling you they can do this, that, and the third, you fall for it. You know, I've gotten cheated out of money, out of certain things, traveling. Just think about you away from home, working on something, and it doesn't work out right. Things get canceled on you, all types of stuff. So, girl, I've been through it, but I would just say finding real legit opportunities.
Okay, and what made you actually start your brand?
My brand, okay, let me tell you, I had an opportunity on television, and I said, you know what, if they gonna tell me to act the fool, they gotta give me something what I want, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, reality television, you gotta give them something they want, and I was like, okay, well, y'all gonna promote my line, my shoe line. It started off as strictly a shoe line for women sizes 9 and up, because I'm a tall girl, I couldn't find fly shoes. And then when COVID happened, that's when my business really hit. I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of people, you know, business fell under because they had storefronts, but I always sold online. So that's when it really hit. Men were shopping with me. Women shopping with me. So that's when I said, okay, well, let me open it up more. I'm doing swimsuits. I'm doing shoes for men. So I'm doing weddings. A lot of women don't want to wear heels. You know, in their wedding, so I was doing Chucks, blinking out everything. So that's when I just said, I'm blinking out everything. My shoes went to New York Fashion Week. I mean, just everything. So sky is the limit. Like, just keep going. I hate when people, one thing I told my friend today, I hate when people start a business and then try to start another one and then try to start another one. The other one wasn't successful. Stick to the main thing and then it's going to prosper. If you believe in you, like me, I believe my stuff is better. I'm a luxury girl, but I believe my stuff better than all of these brands out here, and you have to believe that about yourself, you know?
Absolutely. So what made you start want to get into acting?
Man, I gotta give a shout out to, you know, TikTok for real. Like, I was doing the TikToks, and that really was the first hump for me. Like, all right, let me just put this video out. I'm kind of nervous. I don't know what folks are gonna say. But then once I seen that, I was getting so much love and like so much, like, people was like, oh, I really like your videos. It just gave me another confidence where I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, let me try this class out and see like how I could do. And I did the class. And I did bad. Like, I was doing terrible. Like they was like on my head, but that was like the challenge that I needed. And like from there, I'm like, oh, word. No, I like this. And you challenging me? Let me go ahead and really lock in. And so from there, I really locked in since 2021. And it's been working out pretty good for me.
It's real funny that you say that. You think you know a lot sometimes until you get around people that know what they're doing, right?
What?
So, I never, I guess, take advantage of anyone's career. I feel like it's not challenging because what you see, it's always a challenge behind everything.
Right.
Man, I went to an audition one time. I was all wrong. Charmin Lee was there. And who was it? Charmin Lee. And I forgot the casting director's name. But they ate me up. Word. They got me right
in
quick.
audition.
I started looking up. I started taking classes that week. But I started taking classes. I look, made sure my resume is on point. Right. The right headshots, everything. Yes.
Right.
But you need that though. You really need that. You need that.
For real.
So what about you? What made you want to actually get into it from the beginning?
Ever since I was a little girl, I have always idolized Oprah Winfrey. I know it sounds corny, but it's true. Even I can remember being in like first or second grade. We had, I don't know if it was like show and tell or like a talent show or it was Halloween. All I know is I came dressed up as Oprah Winfrey. I had a microphone. I had my mom butt my hair and it was big and I thought I was Oprah and I always thought I was Oprah ever since then. So that has always been my driving force. I've always loved English, and then I always loved news, and so that has always just driven me to where I am now in my career. So
dope. Mm-hmm. I like that. Well, before we get y'all up out of here, I'm gonna go back on the light note real quick.
Yes.
What was y'all favorite day in the calf?
Fried chicken Wednesdays.
Rob looking like she ain't never eaten the calf.
Yeah. Oh, she's so bougie. Alabama State. She talking about y'all.
Rob was not in the calf unless it was a mixer.
Yeah, the mixer. That's my favorite day. The mixer.
I used to like Sunday because we did a Sunday brunch in the little calf, not the big calf, but the little calf had a great Sunday brunch.
Y'all had a Sunday brunch?
We had Sunday.
I don't think we had no Sunday brunch. I think we just we probably was open to a brunch.
We go to chapel.
Sunday brunch.
We go to chapel on campus and then we go to Sunday brunch.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah, we just stick to my fried chicken Wednesday. I need that chicken every time. Mm-hmm. It was great too. I ain't gonna lie, it was good. Mm-hmm. Them black folks back there know what they doing now. I ain't gonna lie.
Maybe doing what? Well, when did you eat in the calf?
The mixers when y'all was strolling and doing all that good stuff.
No, y'all. Well, I'm gonna say it was chicken strips for me, chicken tenders, whatever you want to call it. That's my favorite food anyway. So it was something. I feel like they couldn't go wrong with chicken strips anyway. So that was always my favorite.
You ain't like the bun, like you ain't like the whole chicken. No, I'm saying like they
just the strips.
They don't do that at Alabama State.
It was cool. I mean, they got down sometime. Word. But chicken strips was just my favorite though.
Chicken strips, tight.
You like them chicken strips? You gotta put it in that good rinse.
He going hard for the
chicken strips. Rinse for me. But you eating chicken wings, so you the bougie one. We had chicken wings.
Y'all had chicken wings.
We had no chicken wings.
No, black guy had no chicken wings.
I mean, we had like soul food.
Are we talking about chicken wings?
Rest in peace, Elmo, Albany State. Y'all already know who that is. Uh-huh. But yeah, his line was famous: patty melts, grilled cheese, all that stuff. So,
chicken wings.
We had a.
We talk about chicken wings.
This is the Morehouse man. Hey, wings.
Hold on, chicken wings though. Like that's like the basic. That's basic.
Yeah.
I don't remember having.
We had the breast. We had the thigh.
And look, if we did at Alabama State, I apologize. I don't quite remember.
We talking about chicken tenders. Like, y'all.
But we had that. But I don't remember no wings, though.
I don't remember no wings either.
Now, you had to hit the sport page, probably.
More than chicken tenders, man.
Or the rolls.
The rolls now. The rolls got the wings. Why?
The rolls had it all, apparently. The rolls was a spot.
The little dinner roll. What you
the call
club.
It? The club. It was actually a club in Montgomery. Yeah, it was called the rolls.
What come with the roll?
The best chicken in the world.
What come with it?
Yeah, what come, like, with what's the meal? What's the meal?
Oh, it was just chicken and bread, I think. Yep. I think you get fries.
Wait, no, okay.
But it was hidden, though. Like,
I was in Alabama, I'm sure it was hidden.
That sounds like a jail meal.
Nah.
No, but they were honey rolls. Now that you know, the Hawaiian rolls.
Sure,
it was the Hawaiian rolls.
No, I was gonna say y'all calf going out too bad right now.
No, I'm not saying that the calf was. I ain't saying it was disgusting. I ain't there quite off.
You was describing some three hots in the car.
But we just kind of got sidetracked when I said something about the rolls.
Okay, we gonna invest in y'all.
We had to sear all the cereals. Pizza and a little stir fry and stuff. We ain't had no chicken wings. I don't
remember that. And y'all had a big calf and a little calf.
But now we have a huge calf. You know they ain't upgraded now. We got one on the water side.
What were the difference? Were both of them open?
Yeah, both of them were open. But the line would be like shorter in the small calf because everybody would go to the big calf. It was just a thing.
Okay. All right. Well,
sometimes you get better service in the small cab.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, man, before we get up out of here, that was a nice little discussion about the calf.
y'all didn't have like the crab legs or nothing. Y'all didn't have.
Man, boy, you lying.
I swear to God.
red. Y'all ain't never had no comments.
Bro, I see your part of the generation.
Y'all really had crab.
I ain't gonna lie. Clark really got the best calf, and I'm gonna give it to him. Really? And they going, they think they got crab legs
y'all
every
eat
other
crab
day.
Crab legs.
Okay, now we never had
seafood
that.
Seafood
no.
Boil, like the whole.
No.
See, we were on the water and we did not have no crab legs.
I'm telling y'all, I'm trying to tell y'all.
Girl, McDonald's was luxury for us in college. I don't know what you want.
Crab
legs.
Hey, I don't make the rules. I got to give it to Clark, though. Clark, y'all got a great calf.
I'm flabbergasted.
When you graduated again?
22.
Oh, that's why. We probably good now. They probably good now.
They got the stadium and all that good stuff.
Before we get up out of here, first of all, I thank you all for taking the time out of y'all day to come through. Let the people know what you all have going on, your socials and all of that good stuff. We can start with you.
All right. Well, you can always follow me on all social platforms at I Am Danny Canada. I have some new content coming out. I posted all my interviews that I do to all the celebs. And follow me there. And also follow at Bossip Official on Instagram and at Bossip on Twitter.
Dope.
Yeah, you can follow me at Dasan.Frazier, Dasan, D-A-S-A-N dot Frazier, on all platforms except for OnlyFans. I don't got one of those.
He just got crab legs.
I thought you were going to be like, no, because my OnlyFans is.
No, because my OnlyFans, yeah, no.
You got OnlyFans for real?
Nah, I'm gonna. Yeah,
he had to think about it.
I was not gonna judge.
Got a couple projects coming out, so keep a lookout for you, boy.
No, don't try to play me like that. Okay, you can follow me at Priyanka Banks.
At Priyanka OnlyFans. That's what you about to say. Talk about me.
At Priyanka Banks, PRIYANKABANKS, and at Priyanka's Palace, LLC. I have a giveaway going on right now. It's up into the six. We're giving away money, lots of money for boys and girls. Just tap in, follow Priyanka's Palace, and read the instructions, and you can win some money.
Let's see. Priyanka giving away money.
We're giving away money.
Men can enter the giveaway.
I was like, look, where's my phone?
Right.
I'm telling you, we're giving out money.
If I don't win, we edited her right out of this interview. Nah, for real, I appreciate y'all for coming, man.
Yes.
And I wish everybody the best of luck. Everybody keep doing what they're doing. And hey, man, we're going to keep connecting HBCUs and all that good stuff. But once again, you all have turned into another episode of The Yard Link Up with Historically Black Sense, man. Until the next time, we'll see y'all. Do say, drop something.
On my mama, on my hood. I look fly, yeah. I look good. Touch my swag, wish, cool. I look good.